Before we hear a reading of the scripture, let us open our hearts to God with a prayer that we will pray together. Loving God, you call us to follow Jesus with our whole lives, to serve with compassion, and to share your grace in all we do. Renew in us the promise we have made to uphold your church with our service and our witness. Open our hearts to your word today, that we may see where you are sending us. Strengthen our hands for acts of kindness, and guide our voices to speak hope and truth. Make our lives a reflection of your love. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. My brothers and sisters, do not claim the faith of our Lord Jesus of glory while showing partiality. For if a person with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person, dirty in clothes, also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here in a good place, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit by my footstool," have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has God not chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But have you dishonored the poor person? Is it not the rich who you oppress, who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into the courts? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? If you really fulfill the law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you have become a stranger and a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged of the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, without works, is dead. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had someone discover that you go to church and suddenly they say, "Oh, you're one of the nice ones"? It's funny and a little humbling because whether we like it or not, the church doesn't always have the best reputation. Maybe after they find out you go to church, they ask, "What kind of church? And is it welcoming? And do people talk to each other?" We say yes. While witness and service, that's the theme for today, while witness and service can feel intimidating, maybe we don't have time for service, maybe we don't know what it means to witness, in reality, it's something that we are already doing. People notice how we treat others. People notice how we serve. People notice when compassion shows up in unexpected places. In many ways, our lives become a sermon long before we ever preach one, which brings us to this final week in our series as we reflect on what it means to uphold the church with our service and our witness. Over the last several weeks, we have been journeying through our series, Living Our Promises, Growing in Grace. We have explored the membership vows we make together, the promise to uphold the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We make these promises not simply as tasks, but as a way of offering our lives to God in union with Christ's offering for us, trusting that the Holy Spirit shapes us day by day into people who reflect God's grace in the world. We began with prayers, remembering that prayer is a conversation with God, a way that we open our hearts and participate in God's ongoing work of healing and hope. We moved to presence, showing up not only in worship, but for one another. We vow our presence because we believe God gives us to each other. So we do not walk this journey alone. Sunny showed us how important it is to see each other and show up in a caring way. Last week, Everett led us beautifully as we focused on gifts, the gifts that make each person here a vital part of our community and the body of Christ. From listening to cooking or baking, to praying, to encouraging, to giving, your gifts strengthen this church's life and mission. This congregation already reflects the generosity and creativity of the Spirit, and today we come to our final two promises, service and witness. For many churches, these are the most challenging vows, but for this congregation, service is the heartbeat of who we are. Witness is woven in through our weekly ministries, in Fresh Food Wednesday, in the clothing locker, in the way that you welcome our neighbors and care for one another. Even so, the scripture from James today invites us to pause and consider the deeper foundation beneath all our activity. James begins with a straightforward warning: do not show favoritism. Do not give the best seat to the wealthy or treat someone differently because of what they have or don't have. Because in God's kingdom, every person is of sacred worth. Every person is valuable. Every person has gifts. Then James deepens the message: mercy matters more than judgment. Compassion outweighs social norms, religious rules, and human assumptions about who is worthy. And finally, James gives the line that echoed through the centuries of Christian living: faith without works is dead. James is not saying we earn God's love by doing more. He is saying that when the Holy Spirit is at work within us, faith becomes visible. Faith becomes tangible. Faith becomes lived. Faith produces mercy, generosity, and courage. Works do not save us, but they reveal that faith, the faith that does. I was struck recently by an experiment that went viral on TikTok and then has been publicized in the news. Maybe you've seen something about it. A woman called church after church saying she needed formula for her two-month-old baby. You could hear the baby, a fake doll baby, crying in the background. And church after church told her they couldn't help. Some offered information, some apologized, but as far as I could tell, the only community that stepped in was a local mosque. People were furious when they learned that she had lied, that there was no baby at all. And yes, the deception is troubling, but even so, in a pass or fail test of compassion, church after church failed. And if I'm honest, I can't say with certainty that we would have passed either. I want to believe that if I answered the phone, if I happened to be in the office near the phone and answered it when she called, that if I answered the phone, I would say, "Meet me at Walmart. I'll get you formula." But the truth is, Most days, when someone calls, the best we can offer is the food we give on Wednesdays and the clothes that we give on the third Saturdays, unless it's an emergency. We don't have unlimited funds. We can't pay rent or utilities or medical bills. And the person answering the phone cannot empty their wallet every time someone calls in need. Those limits are real. And yet James tells us faith without works is dead. Words of blessing mean little if they are not accompanied by compassion. Jesus reminds us that those society sees as a burden are close to the heart of God. Blessed are the poor, Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of God. After this experiment went viral, a pastor from Phoenix, Stephen Anderson, posted publicly, and excuse my language, especially for those of you who have never been here before. I'm quoting a pastor from Phoenix, Arizona. "I would be pissed if I donated to a church and found out they were giving the Lord's money to single mother," "Churches should not be funding fornicators and bastards." Church, this is the kind of sentiment James is warning against. This is the kind of partiality the church ought not be showing. This is exactly the judgment that has no place in the community of Christ. And it is exactly the opposite of what Jesus teaches and embodies. Jesus stopped men who wanted to stone a woman caught in adultery. Jesus lifted up a widow who gave her last two coins. Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well who had five husbands, isolated, ashamed, and alone, and he entrusted her with proclaiming the good news about Jesus, the Messiah. Over and over and over again, Jesus refuses to participate in the world's systems of worthiness. He refuses to categorize people as in or out. He does not withhold compassion from those others deem undeserving. He does not ration mercy. So when a religious leader speaks with cruelty toward women, toward the poor, toward the vulnerable, we can say with confidence that voice does not sound like Jesus, and it does not reflect the Spirit who calls us to be mercy, justice, and compassion. And I hope this deceptive experiment that went viral has encouraged churches to consider how they answer the phone and how they respond when people call with needs that can't be met, because we don't have unlimited resources. James reminds us we do not get to choose who deserves help. Grace is not earned. Mercy is not unconditional. We serve because Christ first served us. We witness because the Holy Spirit empowers us. We love because God loved us while we were yet sinners. Service is love in motion. Witness is love on display. Witness is not cornering strangers with questions like, "Do you know that God loves you and Jesus died for your sins?" Or pressuring people into getting saved. Witness is seeing people, really seeing people, and offering kindness that no one expected. Witness is living in such a way that even if you never tell someone you're a Christian, they would not be surprised, because they can see God's love pouring out of you. James says in chapter 1, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only." You can come to church every Sunday, pray faithfully, give generously, and those things matter, and we are grateful for them. But service and witness go above and beyond that. They ask something more, that we respond to God's goodness with our hands and our hearts and our lives. Jesus asked us to follow him. Jesus asked us to feed his lambs. Jesus asked us to care for the poor, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick and imprisoned. Jesus asked us not just to be disciples, but to make disciples. Bishop Will Willimon once wrote, "Nobody is born a Christian. The good news of the gospel has to be given to us, taught to us, proclaimed to us, and then received by us in our lives. It doesn't just appear in us naturally. Someone has to share it. Someone has to embody it. Someone has to witness to it." If you think about a courtroom, a testimony, a witness on the stand, they're sharing what they've seen. They're testifying to the facts. And when you think about the news, you typically think about bad news. When you read the newspaper or you see the news on TV, it's not usually good. But we have good news to share. There's a popular saying, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." It is a reminder that our actions often speak louder than anything we can say, but it doesn't mean that our words are useless. It just means that our lives should reveal the love of God. Service and witness belong together. Faith and works belong together, because nobody becomes a Christian by accident. We become Christians because someone in word and deed pointed us toward Christ. So what does being a doer of the word look like for you? Are you driving someone to church? Are you calling a friend that you haven't seen in a while? Are you writing a note to someone who's grieving? Are you packing boxes of food? Are you sorting clothes? Are you saying yes to something new, something you're not sure how to do yet? The Holy Spirit will nudge each of us in a different way. When we join this church, when we covenant to be a part of the family of God, we promise to uphold each other. Not casually, not when it's convenient, but faithfully, with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. These vows are not burdens. They are invitations to a life of grace. They are pathways for the Spirit to work within us. They are the way we live out our love for God and for our neighbors. And church, you do these things well. You really do. This congregation's service and witness continue to be a light to this community each and every week. Lives are touched, people are fed, neighbors experience God's love because of your faithfulness. And as we conclude this series today, you received a pledge card inviting you to prayerfully consider how you will live these promises in the coming year. And if you're new here, or you haven't been here in a while, or we haven't seen you, I'd much rather you fill out the blue Connect card than this. But you're certainly welcome to. This is not about obligation. It's about offering our lives to God. It's not a checklist. I've got to do each one of these things. It's about a suggestion, a way, a target for you to shoot for. How will I take my next step closer to God? It's about offering our lives to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and saying, "Here I am, use me." May the Spirit guide your commitments, shape your service, and empower your witness. And through each of you, God's love continues to take flesh in the world. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for the ways that you show up in our midst, for the prayers that go out day after day, for the presence of those in our lives who show up with your love, for the gifts offered, the generosity, with joy, with blessing. God, we thank you for the abundance that you continue to provide as we feed our community each week. God, we trust you and we thank you. And so we also offer our service and our witness that we might show your presence in the world around us, that lives might be renewed, that hope might be found. And so we, here at the gathering at Scott Memorial, pray together this prayer that leads us to be the people you've called us to be. God, help us to be with you, to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.